welcome to a very low energy episode of Romance Writers Therapy. Because
yeah.
Marty and I have been absolutely clobbered by life lately.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
She was a whole thing for a couple of weeks.
Real mean for a minute.
She didn't have to come in so hard. She came in like a wrecking ball.
And then she came and wrecked us both. My voice break on that? Jeez.
Also, I might cough, listener. I'm going to try really hard to not, but it might happen. But I'm Marty.
Hi, Marty. I'm Kate Pryor. I'm making mac and cheese noises because I have pasta with me. Here, I will ASMR for the... Can you hear that?
No, I no? can't, but maybe listener can. What kind of pasta?
It's called penne alla vertusa.
Okay.
A little Italian place next to me makes it.
That sounds amazing.
Cream sauce, sun-dried tomatoes, mushrooms, peas, onions... I wish I had carrots.
That sounds delicious.
Mm-hmm.
I made a spicy, like, Parmesan chicken pasta dish yesterday.
Mm.
And I added some zucchini and chopped up spinach to it as well. It is very good. It's one of my favorite, like, easy quick meals.
I'm, like, hoarding the quick meals recipes.
Oh, I'll send this one to you.
Because, all right, I love it. Because I'm moving out soon, and that means I have to cook a lot more for myself.
I have grown to like cooking a lot. I do like cooking.
Okay.
I don't want it to be an all-day event, but I've also gotten very particular about, like, there's certain things I won't order places because I'm like, I'm better at making a white sauce. You know what I mean? Like, I've just gotten very particular about, like, how things should taste.
I love that for you. That
yeah.
Because it's so fucking rare for me that I like something that I make better than I can get it somewhere else.
Well, I mean, some places do it better. But, like, I'm not going to order certain things. I won't order a cheesecake anywhere. Because, like, I make my favorite cheesecake. Like, I'm very good at it. Some places, yeah, they're going to do a better job than me. But... the average place, like, no. I'll just get something else on the menu. So, yeah. But have you been doing any writing? We haven't talked in 2 weeks.
I've been so much writing.
Oh, have you really? Know?
Actually, yeah. I wrote 6,000 words. I'm so proud of myself.
Way to go, like, man. That's awesome.
I know 6,000 is, like, a teeny amount, but I'm... You know, after NaNoWriMo, and I think I wrote 1,000 words total during NaNoWriMo.
Oh, wow.
I think. Okay. Because, like, stuff just kept happening, and then I couldn't, like, get behind my own story. Because, like, I'm back and forth with everything.
Uh-huh.
And...
Dude, fucking mood.
I know. Like, it was, like, my particular ADHD brain. The way I try to, like... And this is, like, in the most shabby of... coping mechanisms, I believe.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it.
When I don't want to do something, you know, so I obviously, like, so ADHD is an interest-based nervous system, right? I hear that phrase a lot. I'm not 100% on what it means, but this is what I think it sounds like it means, is that if I'm uninterested in what this is, I lose any semblance of bone structure in me in a medical kind of way.
That makes so much sense.
It's so weird. And, like, I can't believe this happens to so many people that we're just losing our bones randomly. But no, like, in high school, I would go to French class and I would just melt into my chair and I could not stop yawning. And I was like, what's wrong with me? I drank coffee. I'm yawning so much it almost physically hurts, you know?
Uh-huh.
You know, like, I hate, like, I don't even know how to describe it. So, like, but things I'm interested in, I do that thing where I sit some, like, in one spot concentrating for 9 hours at a time. I forget to eat. I forget to pee. And then, like, once I snap out of it, I'm like, oh, God, my body, what is, what, who, I've neglected you.
Everything has awoken, you know, at the same time.
Yeah, like, I just, and, you know, like, so these are, like, such
just bones extremes. On bones on bones.
Oh, there's so many bones happening here.
So many bones.
All the bones at once. Oh, man. I love this metaphor.
I do, too.
Yeah, and so where am I going with this? So oftentimes, in order to get things done, I kind of have a list of things. Like, I feel like a little magnet kind of wobbling between attracted to poles and repelled from poles of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I just try to set up a field of things I don't want to do. And see which, like, if I can arrange them in such a way that if I don't want to do the dishes and I don't want to make my bed and I don't want to, you know, make a calendar, I don't want to do my taxes. If I just kind of set them up in a circle around me, one of them mm-hmm. is going to be the weakest link and I'm going to move towards it and do that. Because I hate everything else so much. I
love that method. Yes. And this is somehow the thing I hate less.
Yeah, like, it's like, I'm procrastinating on my writing so much, I'm gonna do the laundry. You know, that kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm procrastinating on editing the podcast so much, I'm actually gonna go do my writing now. It's terrible for deadlines. And, yeah, what was I building to with this?
You've gotten, like, 6,000 words done.
Yeah.
Nano, you didn't feel connected to your story.
So Nana was like a weird element of pressure because it's like I want the dopamine and the validation of, yeah, I'm accomplishing things on schedule, doing things, I'm participating, you know, like that makes you mm-hmm. feel good, you know, this mm-hmm. community event. But it's so easy to fall behind in Nana that the moment you slip up, and I slipped right at the start, you feel like this intense kind of pressure to catch up. And if you don't have time and you just keep slipping behind, and that kind of pressure kind of feels like numbs you out of there, like, you know. And so then it becomes this pressure of why bother doing it at all. It's such a, and the moment Nana was over, it was like November 29th, and I was finally like, you know what, like, and all month I had been like, I can't, like, I'm just gonna pretend it's Nana isn't happening, I'm gonna work on whatever I want to do. But like, I couldn't get myself to get my brain off of the nano word count thing.
Uh-huh.
And so I couldn't accomplish anything. And then once it was like November 29th, it was like, yeah, okay, it's totally done. There's no way I could catch up right now. It just lifted my brain into like, okay, pressure is gone. You can do what you want now.
I did not have any connection to like word counts, really. So I can't really blame Nano aside from like I had the project I wanted to work on and then abandoned that after the first week because I was like and like I found a phrase that I thought really like helped me like pinpoint why I abandoned it. And
okay,
it was I think it was Sarah Cannon. It was totally Sarah Cannon. She was on the Rebel Author podcast. It was a really good episode. But she was like, in 5 years, what do you want to be known for? And I had already abandoned that piece of writing because it just did not feel like this deserves my time.
Okay.
And like her putting those words together was like, this is why I felt like it didn't deserve my time. Like, this is not what I want to be writing. If this is my, like, if I were to write this and release it and everyone freaked out and they just wanted more of that, I don't want to write that.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, like, I 100% get that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I abandoned it right away. And then I was doing well the following week. And then the next week was Thanksgiving. And, like, I was doing well that week, too. And then my whole family got sick.
Yeah, mine too. I had a week long work trip. Like, we have this, it's a work trip. It's a big, you know, everyone from all the different offices across the country, we meet in one place mm-hmm. and we sit through several hours of PowerPoint presentations for like 3 days straight.
Man. Sign me up.
And then we just drink margaritas get me more of that afterwards.
Okay. Which is all right. Well, that sounds more fun.
But it sounds more fun until it's like your boss telling you to do shots with him and you're like, regretting right now. like
we haven't even done that yet and I still regret. So
yeah, no, I can't even, I don't, like, that's not what I want to say about it, but I brain cell.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a big alcohol person.
Yeah.
If these people would invite me to their weed parties, I would. That's so stupid. Right.
No, I get it though. I used to drink more, but as I've gotten older, like, I just know, like, I'm not going to feel as good while I'm drinking. And the day after, I'm going to feel a lot worse than I ever have in my entire life. So, like, wine, red wine, shoot, let's go. I've got this, right? But yeah, weed is definitely, like, a fun high. And it's legal here in Michigan, so, like,
it is now legal here in New Jersey, so.
Yeah.
I was with a bunch of friends in college, and we were, like, pre-gaming to go to a bar. And uh-huh. This is, like, the first and only time they ever invited me out, I think.
Okay.
My friend tried to get me. No, my friend tried me okay. to get me to come to these a lot. And I'd be like, no, I want to sit in my room and be emo or whatever. And, you know.
Yeah. Okay, so you're pre-gaming.
Yeah, we're pre-gaming. And my friend has made a grav bong out of some water bottles. And one friend was like, here's how you use it. And then another friend just kind of came out. And he's always been an asshole. We're not friends anymore, actually. As I'm, like, you know, taking a, I don't want to say sip, a hit. That's the word. That is the word the cool kids use.
Okay.
He slam dunks my head down onto the thing. And if you know how grav works, it's the gravity part of this. And so I inhaled, a fucking gallon of air, smoke, whatever. And, oh my God, it burns so much. And then,
that,
like,
is so shitty.
So I'm coughing for, like, 10 minutes straight. And when I finally, like, and, like, the thing is, like, someone was sleeping in the next room. So everyone was like, can you stop coughing? And I'm like, I'm dying, like, what, here, please.
Wouldn't I love to, actually? I would literally love to stop coughing.
Yeah. You know, time and space left after I stopped coughing. Right. And I remember, like, one of my friends, the one who invited me, who was, like, so wonderful. And, you know, he didn't go with them now, because now he has to, like, very slowly lead me back to my dorm, which is, like,
remember
all
you,
like,
telling me this story?
You know, a couple blocks, not even a couple blocks, like, just a different building on campus. And so, I don't even know, I could not describe the distance accurately, but it felt like 3 goddamn miles. And I'm just, you know, I think I'd been through a breakup recently, so I had been like, hold on, I need to stop and text my ex. And he'd be like, again, and I'd be like, yes, I need to tell him that every text I send is like a message in a bottle into the ocean, and I'll never reach him. You know, like, really? God. Just the worst, like, thing, poetic, like, the most cliche, like, thing you've ever,
right,
heard.
Yes.
And,
oh my God, that's amazing.
He's so good for putting up with this. And then, like, also, my ex is so good for not, like, holding any of that against me. He was,
oh,
like,
man, that's so
what
kind.
What was wrong with you that night? I was like, I was very high. Like, I'm
Let's
so
not
sorry.
Talk about that night. A message in a bottle. I love it so much.
Yeah, like.
Should we talk about writing?
We should talk
at this
about
point?
Writing. Should we, do we want to keep this? What made us start talking about weed? Jesus.
I don't even. Oh, because you were talking about how you had to do tequila with your fam. With your not your fam. Not your fam. Nope. Oh, little, God. Capitalism, get
boss.
Out of here.
Yeah, no brain cells on this.
There
pod.
Is no room for you in here. Sarah Cannon talking about, like, in 5 years, what do you want to be known for? And I just, that really, like, sat with me and was like, oh, that's exactly the feeling I was having, but now it has words.
Mm.
So, yeah.
When I was editing the pod, the last episode that we aired, because I know we skipped this
with Tasha, because she's awesome.
With Tasha, the thing that I really loved was that she said, like, that just her kind of recognizing that NaNoWriMo being a marathon of writing 1,000 words every day, or over 1,000 words every day, is too much of a time commitment, you know, that she could put that aside it's too long a time frame. Yeah.
Yeah.
And do 20K. Yeah, because on WordMaker, she does
the 20K in 5 days. And yeah.
Yeah.
She,
like,
I think it's about once every quarter that she does it.
Okay. I might join in the next one. Because I've seen her talk about them before. And I kind of looked at it and was like, I don't think I could physically do that. You know, I kind of thought, that's a lot of words in very few days. I don't know that I have that in me. So I didn't join. It looked like fun.
I haven't done the challenge. And they are very like, hey, come as you are sort of thing. And so if you're like, I'm going to be involved, but I'm not going to commit to that many words, they're not going to kick you out.
I guess.
The only way that many words is to neglect like people around me, and I can't do that right now.
Yeah. But so, like, just hearing her explain the concept of it in her own words and kind of showing the thinking behind it really made me go,
yeah,
oh, I get it now. Yeah, that's something that sounds a lot of fun, and I want to try that. Because I'd seen people.
If you try it, I'll try it. Well, but like, I really need to stop trying to. I think I need to accept that, like, sometimes my pace is faster and sometimes my pace is slower, and like, that just is okay. Like, I need to accept that, like, a lot of me enjoying writing is like when I let myself process. Like, I do a sprint for like, you know, 20 minutes and then let myself process on it, and then go back and do another sprint for 20 minutes. And like, that works out really well, as opposed to like, I need to just get as many words as I possibly can down as fast as I can, because then I end up writing in a direction I don't like. I end up not like taking my time and actually putting together prose I appreciate. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
If I feel like I'm doing bad writing, I don't like writing.
I mean, so that's the kind of the thing that, like, you know, gonna circle this around to some thoughts that don't entirely connect,
but okay, like the whole, all right, should, let's see if we can draw a line.
The idea that you should watch bad movies in order to understand what a good movie is, does that make sense? Read bad books to understand what a good book is.
I mean, it does, but I also don't appreciate the logic.
No,
because like, at the same rate, like, I have to, if I'm not writing, or if I'm not reading something that's good, right, that is a finished, polished product, this is a well thought out and developed story, right? And I'm just reading a bunch of subpar stories over and over and over, I think I would have the tendency to then set my benchmark lower. I'd get desensitized to it. Does that make sense?
I can definitely see the thinking there, but I'm not talking about, like, don't inundate yourself with this. I'm talking about, like, as a chaser to everything else you do, you know?
Okay.
You know, I do feel that way. If I watch a lot of bad movies, I do start to feel like
my bar is lower sort of thing. I can accept more.
Just, you know, like, I feel a little more stagnant because it's not inspiring stuff necessarily. It's not stuff that makes me want to go be creative. You know, I feel like whenever I read something really good, that always makes me want to be creative, you know?
That's a really good point. Yeah.
You know, so I have, like, so, you know, I love Tessa Dare. I have a bunch of books of hers that I have read, but I also have a bunch of books that I pick up, I start reading it, and I'm just so enchanted by how good she is at everything she does that I'm immediately like, I want to put this down, and I want to explore some things. Like, I'm so struck not by the book itself, but like the inner workings of what she's doing, that I'm like, that's so smart.
I love that. Yeah, I love that. I just watched Crashing, which is like pre Fleabag, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, right?
Okay, yeah.
It's really interesting to have seen. I love Phoebe Waller-Bridge, right? Like, I just think that she is an incredible storyteller. And I loved Fleabag. It was so good. And there were definitely issues with Crashing that, like, she clearly, like learned some things. But ultimately, it was still really fun. It was still really good. And, like, kind of challenged a lot of things in the way that she does, right? That was definitely one of those things, like, I got done watching it and, like, my brain was just, like, just really piecing all of the different things together and how she had pulled it off. And, like, it was so good. I really enjoyed it.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the final bridge of the thought was, in order to, in understanding your writing process, part of what reveals what is natural to you and what works best uh-huh. for you might be not just having good writing experiences, but having the bad writing experiences.
I think that's really smart. Yeah. I think that's really smart.
Oh, thank you. I feel so
yeah,
smart.
Yeah, I think you're really smart.
That's what I'm after.
That's that validation I was looking for.
Thank you. We can end the call now. I've got everything I need.
And goodbye, listener. Goodbye.
Goodbye, listener.
When will I see you again? Oh, never. Never.
Never. Is that from Wizard of Oz?
It's not from Wizard of Oz, but it sounds like it is. It's from TikTok.
That's not true and you know it. It's from a real place.
I know, but that's how I know it. It sounds like Wizard of Oz, but I don't think it's that. Because, like, it's clearly, like, a love interest thing, right? Do you want to talk about Forbidden Lovers and, like, the things that are exciting about it as a concept?
Sure. I've got enough brain cells for this.
Because that was actually the Crashing show was actually what made me, like really start thinking about Forbidden Lovers and, like, what works and what doesn't and why it works and stuff like that.
Okay. I am interested to hear your thoughts.
Okay. So, like, one thing I think it's really hard to do Forbidden Lovers in contemporary.
Mm.
Right?
Agree.
Because, like, particularly because, like, as romance readers, we don't like cheating. Right?
Yeah. You'd be hard-pressed to find someone who... I mean, there's definitely room for it in the genre. It's definitely harder to find, I think.
I think so, too. And I think, for me, my relationship is very much founded, like, a pillar of my relationship is monogamy, right?
Yeah.
So, it's a really hard sell for me personally to accept cheating in a fictional setting if it's not already, like, built into the relationship. If it's not actually cheating, but it is an open relationship, then it's fine. I'm totally fine, right? But then, like, is it a forbidden love if it's an open relationship, right? Because to me, at that point, it's not. So I think it's a really hard sell in contemporary for a forbidden love. And so I've been really playing around with different ideas as to how you could do forbidden love in a contemporary setting that doesn't mess around with consent also, right?
Yeah. Well, so I think...
Because there's certain relationships that, like, that is forbidden, but it's forbidden for a reason, you know?
Yeah. I think it's kind of at its... So a couple examples kind of come to mind for contemporary.
Okay.
And I think it kind of relies on there to be someone outside of the relationship who is putting this demand on, you know, your main characters in situations of And it's got to be kind of unfair of them. Just kind of balancing on that fair slash unfair. Like, it's a request from this person. It's going to hurt feelings. And it's...
Or like, there's it's history that...
Yeah, like a history.
Yeah.
Well, so like a whole, hey, that's my ex, don't date my ex kind of thing.
Exactly.
Which is like, you know, different people have different feelings on how okay that is to do. But I think if you've got a character who, you know, you can, you know, kind of be the antagonist, you know, whether they're a best friend or a sibling or whatever, that kind of draws that line in the sand and you can... They're not your hero or main character, so you don't need to make them as likable as you.
Yeah, exactly.
You had a short story that used this recently, the idea of the brother's best friend kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is my friend, and this if you two ever got together and then had a falling out, then what am I supposed to do? This puts me in an unfair place because now two people I'm very close to hate each other.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like, whatever, there could be other reasonings behind it, but it's someone is drawing that line in the sand, and it's completely arbitrary, but at this, and there is an emotional reason behind it, but it's kind of an unfair reason. I think that's kind of like the whole thing, is that the idea that someone is going to, whether it is society or a single person, puts that kind of boundary where it's not really theirs to do that. It is unfair.
How could it be done where it's self-imposed? Does that make sense? Like, I'm thinking of, like, a deceased brother's widow or something along those lines. Like, that would be a self-imposed, I guess, societal would be the...
I kind of take issue with that because I feel like there's... For any romance novel, I think you kind of have a character who's going to get in their own way. Like, it's kind of... A lot of the time, you have characters who just can't get out of their own way to find happiness, to find love, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. For me, the whole idea of self-forbidding doesn't really work. You know, it's the you can't have the cookie until you've finished all your vegetables, mister.
Yeah. Well,
you're also the guy who gets to decide what you do, you know?
See... But I think this is a difference of, like, our personalities, too. Because you've said that, like, you can't task manage yourself, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you're like, I'm the one that makes a task, right?
Yeah, no. That is my whole problem. That's why I don't see it as, like...
So, like, I can definitely see a self-imposed boundary or barrier in a character... And you have actually challenged me a couple of times to be like, there needs to be an external reason for this. Like, I'm like, well, that's them. That's why they. And you're like, nope, I don't accept it. And I'm like, I'm fine.
I mean, I think in that case, you kind of just have an example of a reader who just wouldn't buy it. But
yeah,
that's just me. Well, and I
think
that's one
of the benefits. Yeah, exactly. And, like, I think that's one of the benefits of me listening to you in those moments is, like, it makes it believable to more than just me as a reader.
Yeah, but I'm also saying you don't have to listen to me because there are plenty of readers out there who would find that as enough.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm not saying that, like, in this example, that should be how you determine your core audience is the ones whose values align most naturally to yours. There's thoughts along that, but I don't have any brain power right now to make that more coherent.
Yeah, no, I'm...
Because this isn't the example I want to set that line with. But you know what I mean.
I do know what you mean. Okay, so do we want to talk about some of the micro tropes within that, like, make this an exciting trope and why, like, what people are looking for when they read it?
Yeah, just give me 1 second.
Do you want me to go with one? I'm Googling, so you aren't, I'm Googling, like, on the spot?
Yeah, I mean, you can go. I feel like I've just been monologuing at you.
No, you're fine. I didn't think you were monologuing.
No, I can tell because I haven't touched my pasta.
I need to chew.
Yes, I need to chew them. Marty.
You're making me carry this whole conversation.
No.
things that, like, I really love about this trope is, like, the secret touches and the secret kisses, like, when they could get caught, right?
Mm.
And it's, like, the it's, like, of it. A combination of, like, this gives me so much anxiety. Oh, my God, I hate this. And also, like, oh, my God, I love it. Like, it's, like, watching it between my fingers and, like, freaking out and panicking. But, like, also, like, eating it with a spoon. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
You know, I kind of want to explore that. The idea that the anxiety is kind of what is carrying the romance. Because it's kind of like what makes a striptease sexy, if that makes any sense.
Oh, God. Stripteases make me so uncomfortable.
Okay, no. Try not to imagine it as, like, you're a participant in this.
Okay. Okay.
Because I think, yeah, that then you might think that, like, oh, here's the thing that could be uncomfortable. I mean, like, if you're just kind of, it's the foreplay of it, you know?
Okay.
It's the idea that if you reveal everything all at once, you just shed all your clothes right now.
Okay.
Okay, we're done. We've reached the end. You're naked now.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, what do we do now?
There's the anticipation.
But it's the, I'm so sorry if I keep talking over you because I cannot hear you.
No, you're great. I can't believe you can't hear me. I can hear you just fine.
I feel like I'm gaslighting you, but for real, like,
can you hear me?
Do you want to just message me every time I start to talk over you?
No, you aren't like, talking over me at all.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear me?
I'm venturing blind into this foray.
Oh my God, what do? I don't know how to fix it.
Is that your child I hear?
No, it's me.
God, it sounded so much like Jude or Ash or somebody. I was like, I don't know which one
really
that is. I
high pitched for a second. Okay, can you hear me now?
The editing on this one. Yes.
Okay, you can hear me now.
Just holding it to your mouth.
Cool. No, I have switched out both earphones and then put them back in and then switched them out again. I'm hoping that we last. So
yeah. Okay, and just, like, the other end of the thought is that if you reveal it slowly, that you're holding that tension in your hands, but I don't know. Actually, maybe this metaphor isn't good, and we can abandon ship.
Okay, so, but I do want to talk more about the anxiety of, like, this trope.
Yeah.
And how that enriches, like, the experience of it, because I feel like without a forbidden love is nothing if we don't see it be forbidden, right?
Yeah,
but then also the forbidden love has to be able to stand outside of
context of which it's forbidden.
Exactly. So I also have to see it proven to work. Like, if this thing was not in their way, it would still be a believable love story.
Yeah. And so, like, that is something I think you see in, I can't name a specific example, but, like, shows where, you know, these two characters are so about each other because they're cheating on someone.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, the moment, like, one of them's divorced and they're free to do this, it's like they lose all interest because that heightened feeling is gone. And so you kind of have to prove that if these two weren't forbidden from each other, they would still make it. Or three, or however many are in this group.
Exactly. Yeah. So what are some of the methods that you would use to prove that they could still make it?
I would put them in a situation where they are able to be in, like, it kind of mimics the circumstances that, you know, if, you know, I can't take you home to my parents, but, like, if we went to your parents and we had a big family dinner and we, you know, laughed all the way through making dinner and having dinner and cleaning up, and it didn't seem like our chemistry fell apart because we weren't sneaking around, that we could be out in the open with one another. Marty, run away with me. I'm sorry. I just kind of used us as the example. And I was like, where am I going with this? But yeah, no, like the whole being in public aspect of it.
So, like, you would let us see their relationship without any threat of them being, like, discovered, or, like, this is a sanctioned moment, right? So, like, if we had a forbidden love, but the person forbidding it also made them have a fake relationship, right?
Wait, hang on. My brain can't handle the twisty noodle you're spinning.
Okay.
Say it one more time, but slow for my kindergarten brain.
Okay, we've got three folks here, okay?
Three folks,
and again, insert as many folks as you want, but in this scenario, there's only three.
So, keep it simple for my puny.
Yes.
Synapses.
We've got the lordly folk, right?
Lordly, okay.
Who is telling these two other folk that they cannot be in a relationship.
Very medieval.
But they're
sounding, okay.
They're also telling them that they have to perform a fake relationship. So within the fake relationship, we would get to see them, like, have the function of a relationship, but also they are denied to actually be together.
So, like, I'm bringing you out as, like, a show pony, and you guys make out on camera, but once you have to go back to your separate rooms, don't even touch each other.
Exactly.
Actually, that kind of reminds me of
Because it's entirely original.
No. Is it a lot like Adios? Or was it the one before
that? Oh, I haven't read that one yet. That one, because
they're like,
is the
they
sequel
are making
to...
out for camera.
Oh, shoot. I know what you're talking. No, it's You Had Me at Ola. It's
yes,
the one that comes before that one. Yeah.
Okay.
That's
thank
a good
you.
Point.
I could
it
not
does
remember
kind
the
of
title.
Remind me of that.
You know, like, they are making out on camera.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say they're forbidden, but, like, I do see that.
But
they
are
don't
definitely
want to get into a relationship with each other.
For, like, their own reasons. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So it's not quite the same thing. But it's... See, these two tropes that you're combining in this mixing bowl are so at odds with one another.
Yeah, it would be an interesting combination.
The whole idea of have a fake relationship, but also don't go anywhere near each other. Don't even look at each other.
Exactly.
And...
Yeah, it would be a hard one to incorporate.
So I'm going to ask you in a minute what made you come up with this. But I'm also going to say, like, if this is, like, if you find yourself putting these tropes together and you think that do the elements of tension that they bring to one another kind of...
Do they heighten or
do they help? Yeah. Do they heighten each other? Do they complement each other? Or do they kind of extinguish what like the point of each other, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that would be the point of playing around with that trope combination, is seeing, like, does it put the fire extinguisher on it or does it light it up?
Yeah.
And I think it would just really depend on the rest of the story around it. And then also, like, how well did you prove it? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I do think at some point, like, as a thought exercise, it's fun, but I do think if you actually try to do that plot, I would just be like, please don't, you're hurting my brain.
I mean, it would be interesting to see how, like, you would have to make it bulletproof, but then
you
also
would
make sure that it still has the things that are exciting about both those tropes.
You would, and that's why I would say to you, as your critique partner, don't, because I don't want to have to...
Don't make me think.
Like,
this
I'm saying
hard
this
about
not
your
as
work.
Like a general advice. I'm saying this as a like, oof, I could not help you through that thorny jungle. Like, I could not.
Not for
like
me.
You're alone on that boat.
Anytime
it's
I
dangerous.
Go to read, you're like, I'm out. I'm out. I
like,
have to
I'm
duck
sorry.
Out.
You can't make me.
Just for that, I'm gonna work it in.
See,
just
like, as you were spinning this scenario, I'm running through your projects that I know of, and I'm like, which one is she doing this with?
No, that was completely right here that story came alive.
Okay. It wasn't your...
So it doesn't have any air.
Okay.
Rest easy for tonight. We'll see what happens tomorrow.
Like, you know, like in the back of my head, I was like, is this what's happening with the, God, what was it? It doesn't have a name. It's your reality TV show romance that you decide against.
I think that that would be, at this point, if I were to insert it into anything, that would be what it would have to get inserted into.
Inserted into.
Penis joke.
So I definitely see the whole them being in front of cameras, but
yeah,
from what I know about reality TV dating shows is that they are kind of the couples that, you know, make it to the end of the season kind of get monitored, like, in a social media kind mm-hmm. of way yeah. after they leave the show. And people are very invested in whether or not these two stay together. And mm-hmm. I think that would be very hard for that kind of a... And, like, the show itself kind of profits or benefits off of them staying together.
Look, absolutely. We have a... Well, because, like, if every single Love is Blind marriage had ended in divorce in the past 3 years, that would not make people want to watch the next season. Right?
Yeah. Hell, even the last season did not inspire any kind of faith in what they're doing.
I have not watched the latest season. I just finished season 2.
Okay.
We can talk thoughts afterward.
This is not a Love is Blind podcast.
This is not a Love is Blind podcast.
It could be.
It could be. I'm trying to think of, like, other elements of the Forbidden. I feel like Forbidden Love does best when it is, like, a layer with other things, right?
Yeah. Like,
it is a layer with brother's best friend, right?
Yeah, no, and, like, I think, so, here we go. There is going to be, you know, I think it was either Lisa Kleypas. I want to say it's Sarah McLean?
I have no idea.
I've never heard her name said out loud, and I'm realizing
this just now. Which is funny, because she has a podcast.
Girl, don't call me out for not listening to
it. I don't either. So,
how can you reveal me like this?
Well, I love her, but when she had Nora Roberts on there, I was like, oh my god. Like, oh, freaking out. So, mm-hmm.
What is it? Like, okay. I think she said something like, it was like a tweet I think she wrote. Her number one piece of, like, writing mantra or what she goes back to in every scene, every chapter is, why can't they be together now? What is keeping them apart? I can't remember. Right now?
Dude, I can't remember if that was her or Kleypas.
See, but okay, no, here's my thing. Too. I don't think I've ever seen Lisa Kleypas tweet. So I'm like, yeah. Now 90% sure it was Sarah.
Okay.
Saying Sarah like we're on a first name basis. I just don't want to butcher her last name. Yeah, you know, we cool.
You know, me and Sarah, whatevs.
You know, me a little obscure in the corner of New Jersey. Exactly. And her sitting on top of a mountain somewhere, I don't know. I picture her in a castle. That's the way I picture people. Times.
Aww. I love that for her.
She doesn't know she's being imagined in a castle.
I do. Don't you want to be imagined in a castle?
Well, I would most just generally like to be in a castle.
I would imagine you in, like, an adorable cottage first.
Ooh, okay. I do dig that.
Yeah. Why can't But so yeah,
so any
together?
Romance that has a good through line of tension that mm-hmm. does a good job of keeping its character, because if they're happy, the book should end now. You know?
Yeah.
And, like, okay, that's, like, a really hard opinion to throw out there, I feel like, but...
Because, like... The amount, I just accept that. Obviously. Are they happy?
See, I could just start shouting, and you'd be like, yep.
Yep, that makes sense. I mean, she said what she said.
I'm talking for, like, things that have a third act breakup that have... that make having that kind of tension or that drama in their storyline as... parts of the narrative, like that's what makes the narrative attractive.
I'm thinking of a book, and I'm not going to say it because I don't want to give any spoilers about that book. But there is a book that I absolutely love. And it does not have a third act breakup, but it has a moment of, like, dramatic tension. And instead of, like, the breakup happening, we get to see these two characters be really supportive of each other.
Mm.
It was funny because, like, as I was reading it, I was like, I do not want the third act breakup here. Like, these two, they have gone through so much, not even so much within their relationship, but, like, their ability to open up to one another was something that was really hard earned, right? And okay. So I didn't want the third act breakup because I felt like it would have violated my trust in their relationship, for one thing, but also, like, they didn't deserve it.
Yeah.
They deserved to just be happy with each other. And so the lack of third act breakup really made me appreciate that story so much. But also, it was done in a way that, like, there was still enough tension within the story and conflict within the story that they could have had a third act breakup and it would have worked, but it was better not to. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I get that. I think there's certain stories that, and, like, I'm sitting here thinking about the language that I want to use to describe this thing. And I'm like, I feel like I need to break down that language as well. A lot of the times when we talk about pieces of art media that are finished, that we've watched in their entirety, and then we say things like it, like, that actor knew what movie he was in. This writer knew her genre. This writer knew what the story called for. And it's kind of like one of those things where it's like, you can say these words, but, like, I'm a little foggy on what they mean because it, like how to put that into practice. It's very easy to say something about a finished work, but when you're in the work, you feel kind of maybe like you don't have such a strong handle on what your tone is and what the tone you want for the piece is versus what tone is kind of naturally emerging, because that does happen. You know, like, you say, I'm going to set out for this tone, and then you end up with that tone, and you're like,
yes, that was not my intention.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, just sometimes
I feel like
happens.
That is what happens with everything I write. It's like, I set out with, like, this one thing in mind, this is my intention, and then I start executing it, and it's like, I was going for, like, a light rom-com, and all of a sudden there's all this angst on the page, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah,
so I just did not have any intentions.
like when I wrote my first Love Laugh Lich book, I had a pretty strong grip on the tone, I feel like. But now that I'm on the third book, for a while I really floundered on, like, you know, I kept straying away from the tone. I was like, I don't like this because I know it's the wrong tone for the series, and this is going to feel like a sharp left turn or a sharp downward turn, honestly, because, like, the tone just went much darker than it needed to be for the series.
Isn't that,
and so I had to keep scrapping
how
it.
Does that happen?
I think that's kind of like a mood writing thing. Like, it's more reflective of where you are as a person in your life currently, I want to say, on, like, a maybe week to week basis,
maybe,
than it is indicative of your ability as a writer overall, I think. And
yeah,
it's definitely about a choice, like the restraint to pull yourself back from something and go, this is the wrong tone for what I'm aiming for, and I need to not let myself go down this particular creative path, because I'm either going to end up with something I don't want for this, it's going to feel like wasted time, you know, like it's that judgment call. Yeah. Okay, I want to back it up mentally because I lost where we are, and I wanted to finish that thought. I'm sorry, I'm talking so much.
Oh, you're totally fine. Honestly, like, I can't talk much more than I'm talking.
Really?
Because of my throat, yeah.
Oh my god.
So,
yeah, because, like, you're still sick.
I'm so much better. Like, I'm so much better. It's just, you know, talking takes a lot.
Yeah.
But we were talking about, I feel like I can't even follow it backwards right now.
Yeah, I know, same. We're lost.
I'm usually so good at that. We usually rely on me for that. What am I good for right now?
God, last I remember we were talking about castles and something like this. Knowing your genre. What did you say before I said know your genre? Well, before I went off on that tangent.
We were talking about how, I was saying how that book didn't have a third act breakup, but that it worked. And
okay, yes.
I'm wondering how many iterations it went through before she was like, this is the way it can work.
Yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes you get so one foot in front of the other. Like, the ending of Just Fake Married is completely different than the first way I wrote it. Right?
Yeah, because you tend to, you need to fill out a scene before you, and flesh out a scene too, before you're like, actually, yeah. I don't want that.
Yeah, and so, and, like, I'm wondering, like, how many iterations that that third act went through before she landed there, which I am like, that was the right place to land, right?
Well, and so I also wonder if there's someone who's read that book and then thought, no, it needed a third act breakup.
Yeah, it would have broken my heart. I did not want that for them. I'm telling you, that was one that I was reading through my fingers, like, oh, don't make them break up, don't make them break up, don't break up, don't break up. Like, they're just sweet little babies. I almost, like, set it down to, like, not read it for a while because I had to, like, get some distance between them breaking up.
Yeah.
Because I was just too emotionally invested. I don't know. Anything else you want to talk about? Anything else you want to say?
I know you wanted to talk a lot about the forbidden love trope.
And I mean, I think it's a like challenging. I think we're okay. I mean, it's not as like thorough as our workplace romance, but I feel like forbidden love a lot of times is layered with something else.
Yeah, no, it is definitely one element of tension, and I think,
and it's making it's that one, tension yeah. believable.
Yeah,
like that's the challenge there.
Well, also just, you know, like it's definitely the kind of thing that you see more in historicals or fantasy even.
Yeah.
And
yeah, because you can set up a world that does actually forbid their love. Right?
Yeah.
And like I think that those barriers exist a lot more in our current contemporary society, but I think there's also an argument to be made to like romance is escapism, and I don't really want to see people not be able to be in love, you know?
Also, because, like, the two kind of, I think, close to contemporary, sort of still leaning into contemporary forbidden love tropes that you could bring in are very hard, real-world examples that have a lot of, like, trauma around them. Like,
the whole
interracial. Thank you. I'm stumbling over this word. My brain just...
Well, or a religious.
Fucking, I cannot get this word.
Interracial.
I keep saying interrelational, and that's not the word I want. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
God, my tongue would not get it in order. Yeah. Like, what is it? It's Loving versus United States? Like, that wasn't that long ago.
When you No, it wasn't.
You know, gay marriage is... It only became legal when I was in, like, fucking high school, man.
Yeah, I mean, I was...
You were out of high school. I was in high school.
Fully out of high school.
But...
Yeah.
And, like, I remember at the time being like, wow, I didn't think that was gonna happen this soon. Like, I thought it had, like, another 10 years.
It did feel like it wasn't gonna go through. And, like... I mean, just, I'm so glad it did, but it's also wildly disappointing that, like, at the time, I was like, oh my god, it did? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, but also, like, you know, even looking back 10 years is like, oh, geez.
Dude.
We were a whole lot worse as a society, I think.
Yeah.
It was very common just to hear people, like, call anything they didn't like gay, and
yeah,
that was very normal. Like, absolutely. No one batted an eye.
Well, then also, like, we accepted people's intention as opposed to being like, it doesn't really matter if you intended it. It hurt someone.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it doesn't matter if your intention was a joke. The joke wasn't funny to everybody in the room. you shouldn't be okay with hurting people.
Yeah.
Like, let's not make excuses for that.
Even though it's been, like, gay marriage passed and it's legal, and it's still, I think, kind of a sore, very much trauma-ridden topic to, I think, and people don't necessarily want to have to explore that every time they want to pick up a queer novel, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and then also, like, you know, there's these, like, using religion also as, like,
yes, that was a forbidden example I wanted to bring up. Because, you know,
absolutely, my parents, as, like, a forbidden romance.
See.
Oh, what?
So, you know, I don't think people think of it as, like, so, yeah, okay, two examples, actually, personal. So, my mom is Presbyterian, that's a type of Protestant. And my dad is Catholic. And when they got married, or when they were dating, my grandma, who was Catholic, did not want them to get married.
Yeah. And I have a friend who, one of her boyfriends, she was Protestant and her boyfriend was Catholic, and his mom was deeply against it.
Yeah. And, like, I think people don't really put this on the same scale all the time as, you know, the other two we mentioned, but it is a thing. It does happen, and it really does, I think, depend on the families that you're talking about. You know, actually, so funny story. It's the reason I've been baptized both Catholic and Presbyterian. And
oh, really?
Yeah. And I only learned this when my grandma died.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Ah. Like, my dad informed me of this after the funeral, and I was like, hold up. You secretly baptized me for both sides of the family?
That is so... I mean, now, gathered, like, I was raised evangelical Christian, and unpacking that has been a thing. So I understand that, like, all this stuff really matters to people, right?
Yeah. Oh, no, I fully, also, like,
it warped my brain a little bit.
It does. It's so weird. Like, okay, so when I was in college, I dated this guy. And so, like, you know, my mom raised me very vaguely Protestant, you know, in, like, the most diluted of Protestantism, I think.
I love it.
Like, it's, you know, church is the place we get bagels at. That was what it was. It was like,
motherfucker, of course you get bagels there. Do you know I've never had a bagel at a church?
Wow. I'm sorry, never. That's a shitty church if it doesn't have bagels.
Get the fuck out. You would have, look, you would have found religion if you had bagels at that church.
Listen, you would have found religion if you had this fresh out of the oven melted butter.
Get the fuck out. No way. No way.
Join my religion, bagel church.
I mean, I'm there. Show me where to sign up.
So this is like sort of the plot of Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Is it?
Not without the church.
I haven't watched that one yet.
Okay, it's,
but bagels.
Bagel is kind of plot point in that. I'm just gonna leave it at that.
Okay, so I have to watch that one.
Okay. The other example is I dated this guy in college, and so, like, I'm vaguely Protestant, not really attached to my religion, you know, but, like, he was Jewish, and we didn't think anything of it. Like, when we dated, we'd be like, oh, okay, so you do this, and then you do that. I'm like, okay.
Well, because I think these things are very generational.
Yeah, because his mom made us break up because she didn't want us to date anymore, and he told me, like, I have to break up with you because my mom she wants me to date a Jewish girl. And I went, oh, okay, I hope you do what you want for yourself, not your mom. Yeah. But, like, also, yikes, I don't want to tangle with that.
And, like, that's the thing that makes that a really hard plot point for forbidden lovers
is, you know, it is so fraught and it is so real. It is.
And everyone has, like, their own personal connection to it. Like, someone else's connection to it could be very much like, yeah, that's why I broke up with my girlfriend and this is my real life trauma.
Yeah.
Or, like, my situation where I'm like, I've unpacked that and I don't understand why everybody cares. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
for some people, it's too real. And for other people, it's like there's it's a house of cards. It just blows over.
Yeah, right? It's like that doesn't feel like a strong enough stake.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's definitely like a have you experienced this? Can you appreciate it kind of thing.
Well, and like, I think that that's a really important point to make is like when things are too rooted in like contemporary like life existence, like we can be too connected. Either it's going to hurt too much or it's going to hurt too little. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah,
we just have such firsthand experiences with it that I don't want to touch that plot.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
And, like, I think it's definitely, it's a very heavy, angsty kind of plot, and you have to be ready to carry that.
Yeah.
And if you're going for something a little fluffier and lighthearted, then, you know, yeah, it's, that's one hell of a balancing act.
Yeah. Well, my thing is, like, I'm just having a really hard time thinking of a forbidden romance that I've read that works.
Well, and so here, I kind of looking back on it, things that I think we've talked about that create tension in historicals, like the whole, the marriage market in Regencies, you know, the whole have a season and be put on display for, and get married to the first man that asks you and is good for your family, blah, 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 like that kind of thing.
Exactly.
You know? There's a whole bunch of fun things you can do in a romance novel with those kinds of rules abound, you know, like plot-wise, it's you have a treasure trove. But I think like if you think about actually living in that time period, it's actually more like a horror story.
Yeah, no, that would be terrible.
You're pretty much probably not going to get a handsome guy who's going to solve all your problems because he's an earl or a duke.
No, you're probably going to get someone old enough to be your father because you're also 13.
Or grandfather.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Truly horrifying. Truly
and
horrifying.
And so I think it's kind of that because there's so much time and space and culture that's shifted since then that we literally cannot appreciate just
what
how
that
terrifying
was.
That was, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just and like well, and because then, now it is. It's a fantasy today. It's a sandbox to play in.
Yes. Well, and also like none of us were there. So I mean, fact check me. Right? Like the only thing we can really fact check in a way that works is like what like was yogurt invented yet? You know what I mean? Like you can't have yogurt at dinner or at breakfast if it wasn't there at the time, right? Everyone's there for like this other world. And so, I mean, it is constructing a world that works for people.
I mean, that is the whole kind of root of escapist fantasy, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's so much value in that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like I have a friend who like reading romance is like, that's how they disassociate. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, like, she just devours books, right? And I'm really glad she has that. You know, like, it's important. It's helpful sometimes to just, like, hit the clear button on your brain. Do you want to tell them where they can find us and all that?
If I'm
or do you
on
just
the
want,
social,
but
yeah.
We'll just let them figure it out for themselves this time?
Yeah, fuck you, listener. Figure it out. No,
go
I'm
eat
so
a bagel.
Sorry. Come back.
We don't mean it. We don't mean
join
it. Join
my
back.
Bagel church.
I do hope you have a bagel, though, because that sounds delicious.
Oh, my God. There was this. So from, like, the meeting I was telling you about.
You
so we had one.
Church. That's so fucked up.
Bagel church?
I've had donuts at churches.
You get donuts after you go to church. You drive to Dunkin' Donuts after you drive home with your bagel in hand. Get it together, Marty. Your church
our
is doing
bagel
everything
game,
wrong.
Our bagel game here is just not on the same page. Like,
no, I get you.
We just recently got like a place that makes their bagels in house. Like
and
in the past couple
still not
of years.
Gonna be real bagels
I don't wanna,
because they don't have
I mean,
the water from Brooklyn. You think I'm joking, but like
oh my
my god, so, I no, love so that
you're not this, joking.
This meeting, this big company-wide meeting, we had someone come from the Japan office, uh-huh. and her name was Lisa, and she, you know, we hung out for a little while together because she was about my age, and she, you know, she was kind of going around to everyone asking what's, like, the best thing to do while I'm in this state and or in this area to, uh-huh. like, get a real sense of the culture. And, you know, we're all telling her these things. And I told her about, like, the pizza and the bagels. And I told her about the water. I was like, you can't get them anywhere else because it's the water. And then she asked someone else and they said the exact same thing. And I'm like, that's yeah, that's how you know.
So funny. Ugh, I love that. I don't know if we have
literally the,
that
the little
particular.
Italian place that is next to me. Like, he told me he goes to New York, he gets a bunch of water, and he drives back to New Jersey.
Oh my god!
Like, that's how much of a thing it is.
Oh my god, I love it. I love that energy so much. People are exciting. But okay, so you were gonna say something.
Say something?
I don't know. Are we just saying bye? What are we doing?
Are we saying goodbye? Let's wrap up.
Okay, well then I'm going to tell them that you are Kate Pryor. And you are at By Kate Pryor on TikTok, Instagram.
All the socials.
All the socials. I am Marty V, author, on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. And listener, I think that's it for tonight. I think you've done great. You've done a great job being you. We've done a great job being us. Like, subscribe, tell a friend. If you left a review, that'd be cool, you know, if you wanted to. That's about it for us.
No, I think we should gatekeep that. You're not allowed to leave a review.
Not everyone can leave a review.
No, only if I don't even know what qualifications are gonna be good enough.
You have to prove you're qualified to leave a review.
Yeah.
Listener, you're awesome, and we think you're pretty cool, even if you aren't qualified to leave a review. Okay? Okay, goodbye, listener. Goodbye.